This is indeed a special day. 11/11 of 06. Our little baby that's in heaven is two today. And with every remembrance of you, little Carissa Joy, we give you our love. We thank you for your life. We thank the Lord for your life, albeit it was short-lived, just in my womb. I thank you for the joy that you gave me, beloved Carissa Joy. And so for all those that have their children in heaven, I dedicate this time to them, those that have suffered losses. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've turned our sorrow and our grief into joy. And we love you and we praise you, Lord Jesus, because of who you are and that you are watching over our little ones. So with joy, Jesus, over you, we are mindful of that today and every day, that you give us joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was thinking much and meditating much in my heart about the Word of God and how these recent messages that have come forth from our pastor have been about worshiping the Lord. The power that is in worship. And Psalm 56:3 says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." And the enemy of this earth, the enemy to mankind, is the devil. And when Bronk was here recently, he shared a great and deep revelation about how when Lucifer was in heaven, he was over all of worship. And he coveted the worship that was being given to God the Father, and he wanted it for himself. And so as a result of him looking to take that from the Lord, his pride and his rebellion is what cast him out of heaven. But in heaven, there was a fire that was before him. It was a holy fire. But as a result of him being cast outside of the presence of God, when we worship the Lord, we worship him, we revere him, reverently lift up our eyes to him in our times of sorrow, in our times of grief, in our times of fear. He comes in like a flood, and our worship brings torment on the tormentor. He is tormented when we choose to surrender our lives to him and to put our eyes on him and our focus on him. And I'm going to take you on a little journey, because with Carissa, when we found out we were pregnant with our third baby, I was like any mother, just ecstatic about her conception. And in May of 2004, when you go to get your normal ultrasound, you're usually going to find out, for me, I was thinking about, you know, what she was going to be, a boy or a girl. I mean, how is she going to integrate with Carson and Victoria? How are their lives going to play together? You know, and there's just certain personality traits of a little boy or girl, and it didn't really even matter. But we did find out that she was a little girl. So hence, we were able to name her. And when we waited on the Lord, and I know that the Lord gave us her name, because Carissa meant and means beloved, and joy, because she was and is our joy. And as I said, he's turned our sorrow into joy. And with doing this ultrasound, what we discovered, what they had diagnosed, you know, they didn't tell you anything. They just kind of send you off. You're like, oh, great. You know, you're thinking, okay, something's, you know, something must be up, because they said, well, the doctor will contact you. So you go away and, you know, your heart just kind of leaps a little bit. But then it's like, no, I will choose to trust in you with all of my heart and not lean on my own understanding. And so we got the report back at that time that she had what is known as an omphalocele. And some of you may know this. Some may not have known the details about Carissa. But what an omphalocele meant was that her organs were, her digestive system was actually on the outside of her body. And so immediately it's like, oh, that's easy for God. You know, he can guide the hands of the doctor and he can put those in. I mean, he can even do it himself, you know. I mean, nothing's impossible with God. So we were standing on that. And being 43 at the time, they recommended doing the amniocentesis. And I absolutely refused with Carson. I was like, oh, absolutely not. And I mean, I was 39 with Carson and when he was born, and 41 with Victoria. And so praise be to God that even, you know, I was able to conceive, let alone have these three amazing babies. And so with Carissa, as a result of them diagnosing her with that omphalocele, there was some concern naturally. And so we went ahead and did the amniocentesis, and that's when they discovered what she had was a trisomy 18, which meant an extra chromosome. And so the Lord girded me and strengthened me and prepared me. And, you know, we need to know in the natural what we're up against. It doesn't mean we have to agree with it, because we're not going to agree with the report of the doctors. Even though your eyes see a certain thing, the truth is what the Word of God says. And I believe that as a result of sowing the word all those years, the Word was in me. And He kept me fortified. He kept me strong during those subsequent weeks that followed. And the Lord instructed me. He said, you know, I mean, the enemy can steal every day your joy. He can steal your peace. He can come in and challenge, who do you believe in? Who do you trust? He's going to ask you, you know, who do you put your trust in? It's going to remain on the Lord no matter what. And when we remain fixed in that, no matter what, the challenge may come. And, you know, in this sense, a death sentence was diagnosed against our baby. And we're all subject to death. And that's why it's like, it's not eternal. I mean, that place that we have these bodies, they go on the ground. But where we spend eternity is the gift that the Lord gives us. And so as a result of finding that out, the Lord just guided every day with me. I wasn't thinking, you know, the battle is in the mind. But when you think on things that are heavenly, things that are true, things that are noble, you don't give place to the enemy coming in with vain imaginations, because, you know, what if this is going to happen? What if this is going to happen? You know, we could do it with our own children now. What if something were to happen to Carson? What if he were to go in the street and get hit by a car? It's like, you don't even want to utter these things because you don't want to give him place. And, you know, even uttering him doesn't give any power to him, because he's covered with the blood of Jesus. And I rest in that. I trust in that. I know that these children aren't mine. These children belong to Him. And they're gifts. And everything that we have, the clothes on our back, are gifts from our Heavenly Father. So we remain connected to Him in every day that we live and breathe and have our being. So in this journey that I went through, I just rejoiced that I had her with me each day. With the movement that began, you know, 5 months, you feel the movement of this little one in you. And there was so much love being transferred to her and from Carson and Victoria. And, you know, there's so much love and so many prayers that went to her. And the Lord had me go to the doctor on Wednesdays. And then I'd go to the altar on Wednesday night, draw my strength from Him, and then continue down that journey. And, you know, the thing that was really amazing was His peace. His peace was in the midst of that trial, because as a mother, you know that, you know, the loss of your child, it's unspeakable pain. You know, it's like you can't even imagine. But even without setting out to do it, I remained in a posture of trusting in Him. I mean, I did set out to do it. I didn't... there wasn't any plan when you go through something that you've never walked through. But I believe that this message will help others, whatever they may face, whatever fear may try to confront them. You say, I choose to trust in You, Lord, with my marriage, with my children, with my family members, my loved ones. I choose to trust You with them, because when you have that worry and anxiety coming into your heart, you begin to get vexed and the tormentor can come in. And how can you give to those that cross your path? How can you give any kind of hope and faith and life to someone when you're being eaten up with any fear? And so in surrendering her, I mean, we surrender every day. Again, I mentioned earlier about daily surrendering our will, surrendering our hearts, surrendering this mind that is corrupt, that wants to go against the things of the Spirit. We have to keep the Word before us. Nothing else can stand against the wiles of the enemy and the strategies of the enemy to tear us down. But when we build one another up in the realm of the Spirit, inform one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another, pray for one another, that's where we stay elevated before Him and not weighty with the cares of this earth. And we know we'll see those that have departed in heaven. And when that day came, you know, it's like day by day by day, the Holy Spirit was giving me instructions, you know, ordering it for each day. And they had even suggested that, you know, initially that they had, you know, marked her day as 11/11, and they were suggesting a week or two early. And I'd contemplated that. What the doctor was recommending is like, no, I'm going to keep waiting. I want her with me a little bit longer. Because when I did go to the website, I did find that over, I don't know what it was, 97% of those that were diagnosed with this, I mean, these are pretty strong odds to overcome. I mean, we have faith, and yet we hold on to faith and hope no matter what the statistics are, no matter what. But I wanted to be aware of what other people had gone through. And the Lord led me to a website of another Christian woman who had a baby girl named Abigail. And she shared her journey. And even in the midst of that, there was strength that was drawn from what she had experienced. Her baby had lived for 3 days. And Carissa, you know, when we went down at 7 a.m, I was willing to do anything for her, you know, I guess in my own way to keep her with me longer. But the doctor had told me, he said, even if it was my own wife, I would have her deliver this baby naturally. I was like, you know, cut me open, take it, you know, whatever's needed. I didn't want her to have the duress of the labor. But I still said, okay, Lord, you know, I feel that, you know, I believe this is what you're leading me to do. And so going to the hospital that morning, she was alive and she was moving. And it was just a few more precious moments of being able to have her close. And so when she was here, I mean, it was bittersweet. It was like you 9 months wait to lay eyes on this little lovely one. But she was such a result of so many prayers. I mean, she was so beautiful. And many of you saw, and I actually brought an album if anybody, you know, wants that, because it's a very intimate and personal journey, this part of it. But I would recommend to anybody to take pictures of that. You know, I mean, they're in your heart and then you're in your memories, and she'll always be with us. You know, whatever little time that we have, we should rejoice in and be grateful for the life that we have with our husband, with our friends, with loved ones, you know, the precious moments that we've shared together and holding on to those things. And the enemy wants to always sow discord and strife and contention and gossip and judgment. And it's like, I don't want to abide there. I don't want to live there. I reject all those notions. I want to live in His mercy and His goodness, for they are new every morning. And you know, time has, I mean, this gift of time, and we're locked in this realm of time. God, we know, lives outside of time. And we know that we'll be reunited with our ancestors, those family members that have gone before us, let alone our loved ones. My mother, not knowing how to fight that cancer, you know, she could have lived longer. And even in the testimony with Emily Dotson, she fought for a woman who was like just death over her. And the two daughters went to visit her, and they got Crisco oil out of, because they were looking for oil to put on. Didn't even know what they were doing. You know, they come from a denomination. They're like, okay, we got to find oil in this house. And she was just on her deathbed. I mean, literally, the spirit of death was visiting their home, ready to take her and cut off her life prematurely. So they anointed her head to toe with Crisco oil, and they spoke the word of God over her. And then the next day, she came out of her state of unconsciousness. So there's power in the word. We just have to apply the word. We have to apply the blood and not walk defeated. It's like, it doesn't matter what it may look like. These are lying symptoms from the enemy. And the Lord is causing His bride to be warriors for Him, to be warriors and not to sit back and take it anymore. The enemy assaulting us and assaulting our minds. But when we are renewing our minds daily, we're girded up with truth. We can go forth in the power of Christ every day. So it's amazing, because, you know, time has a way. It's like a gift of the Lord. You know, you arise every morning and it's new. You have a new fresh start to surrender to the Lord. Even if you missed it yesterday or missed it last week or haven't opened your Bible in 3 weeks or 3 months, you know, I mean, we just, you know, have to examine our own hearts, you know, and know that He's always wooing us. And when we come to Him, there's no condemnation. But you know, when you're walking out there in your own self-sufficiency in the day, you can, in this hour, believe that you're uncovered. There's no more time to play out here outside of God. We need the covering and the security and the protection of Almighty in this day that we live in. We've heard in our recent a conference from our spiritual father, Dave, how the rules of engagement have changed. This enemy that we have is a very real foe, a very real, unmerciful. I mean, he's constantly merciless, looking for an open door in our lives. We have to keep that tower fortified. We live in a high tower with the Lord, unmoved by the things that we see, because it's those things that are unseen in the realm which we live in. And it's building up and magnifying the spirit man within us. And again, as I was saying, you know, time has a way of bringing healing to our hearts. And after Carissa was buried in that beautiful little white casket. I mean, you think about a little infant in a casket. There was so much love that was sown into her. And Victoria, she reached down and wanted to hug her one more time. And it's that love that keeps her alive. And it's the power of that love to overcome anything that the enemy may bring against us, whether it's prematurely cutting off a life or attempting to. Because the times that we live in, do not let your children go outside the door without praying over them. And I know you do. Applying the blood, your children, grandchildren, loved ones. We need to be aware of the work of the enemy and how he's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. And so every day, I mean, I rise up. Christine brings Carson to school. I bring him Mondays and Fridays. We just have this system, this flow, you know, of bringing him. She comes here. But every morning I'm praying over his mind. The Spirit of the Lord rest upon him, protection over him, his classmates, the teacher, the school. And, you know, in doing so, we're praying over a whole community, a whole family. And it goes beyond. I mean, we're interceding over regions. And so in this, you know, November, Christmas a year ago, Carissa would have been a little over a year. And, you know, the Lord just gives you see little special reminders. My mind's not on, you know, on her loss. You know, I mean, the first few days and weeks, you know, you rise up and you overcome things that you're confronted with. I mean, you find that when I had Carson, he would just start a preschool and I had a special time with Victoria, and I took her to Gymboree. And there was a time that there was another mama with a little infant baby. She goes, "Open your eyes, baby, open your eyes." Because she knew that Carissa didn't open her eyes and that, you know, she slept. And yet I believe with Carissa, she was born in heaven. That was God's gift. It was like she was carried in the arms of the Lord and born in heaven. And I can say that from my own experience, I didn't intentionally go out to worship the Lord right after laying her to rest. But that is what happened. And as Amanda was singing, I'd ask for Say the Name of Jesus. I think that one will just always be my favorite song because it carried me. And preceding that time, that song came along. And the Lord knows what we have need of before we even go through that situation. And He would bring hope to me. He would bring faith to me. I would dance before the Lord this much pregnant, you know, however many months I was during that time, because that song was a gift. And, you know, you think about, again, worship that was born out of heaven and delivered to us human beings as earthen vessels. We can worship Him and choose to worship Him. And so during that time, the immediate first 3 weeks after laying Carissa to rest and knowing she was in heaven in a more glorious place than anyone can even imagine, I just laid in my bed and wept. It brought tears of comfort and tears of sorrow and grief. But I would over and over again for about an hour just set aside that time. And I worshiped him to that song. It played over and over again. I had it taped. And it was on repeat, but it was, you know, I had it specially done where it was just over and over again. I didn't even have to move. I just lay there and I worshiped him and I worshiped him. I mean, I didn't hear from heaven, Anna, worship me, but I did. And as a result of doing that, I mean, it was like about 3 weeks and it was a turning point for me. I was upstairs and I had Framing Your World playing in Victoria's room, as we did with Carson when he was first born for his first 2 to 3 years, and then Victoria as well. And there were joy. The joy scriptures were playing. And you know, you can have those CDs playing and worship on, you know, and you can kind of tune out. But when you tune in, your antenna goes up, your spirit rises up, and you hear with your spiritual ears, there is a joy that bubbled up from deep within. It's like, oh, I'm sitting there, I am changing Victoria's diaper. And his spirit of joy just bubbled up within me, and I felt his strength return to me and his comfort. And like I said, there are things that still needed to be overcome each turning point. You know, there are things that marked a time that I had to lean on him because it was a moment of weakness. And I know you know what I'm talking about. There are times and even anniversaries. And I have a picture of her in our bedroom and in a prominent place. And I don't look at it every day. You know, she's not my, you know, shrine, but it's like, there's just a remembrance of her and just, I love you. I'll see you soon, baby. Or when that song comes on, it just, messes me up, but in a good way, because he turned the weeping and that sorrow into joy. And so the word of God, when we worship him, it says, Psalm 33:18. Behold, the Lord's eye is upon those who fear him. And I'm reading the Amplified. It says, who revere and worship him with awe, who wait for him and hope in his mercy and loving kindness to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Our inner selves wait earnestly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For in him does our heart rejoice, because we have trusted, relied on, and been confident in his holy name. And the other scripture that the Lord was given me was Zephaniah 3:17, because as we allow ourselves to let him sing over you, you know, we're to sing spiritual songs to one another, songs and to encourage one another with singing. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction, and in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. I mean, that's how we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, each of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but he's not mindful of those sins, of those things from the past, because his mercy is new every morning. We draw on that mercy. He says he will exult over you with singing. And the Lord was also showing me in Ecclesiastes 3:1. And a lot of people are having, I believe now, an ecclesiastic experience. Those that have prospered, those that are kings in the business world, they're finding, what is all this? It's all vanity. When you think about, you can lay up all these treasures, these natural resources, build larger storehouses for these things and not have God, there's an emptiness and a void. And I believe that men are becoming more aware of that because of the hour in which we live in. So I found that in Ecclesiastes 3:1, he says, to everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And the Lord says, Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord, worship him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Isaiah 33:6 says, and there shall be stability in your times and abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and his. See, when we walk in that place of being triumphant in him, we glory in him, we worship him, despite the natural feelings, those sensual, carnal, weighty feelings that may be assaulted against our bodies. The Lord says we're to surrender our body every day, daily, our minds, our will, because it's our freedom to go bound out into the day without him being uncovered and go out in our own self-sufficiency. Doesn't mean any destruction is going to come on us, but there can be a fatigue and a weariness in doing this way, and even in a sense, forcing a gaiety in our lives because we don't draw on the strength that the Lord gives us, that fuel, that energy, that strength that the Lord gives us by his Spirit. I mean, we can go out in our own strength, or we can go out in his strength. And even just the sense of fulfillment and satisfaction that you have in choosing to spend that time with him first thing in the morning, you feel so fortified. You just feel the strength of God that is on you, and you find that word that you were meditating on that morning waits for you in the day. And there's a way that it's executed. You find that the manna he gave you first thing in the morning was delivered in that day, or even the next day, or the following week. But as you're living prophetically in this hour, we need to be heightened in our awareness of the Holy Spirit and how he's moving to keep us safe, keep us protected, keep us warned of things to come, whether through our dreams, through our visions. We need to be so aware of how he's moving. And through even our children, I'm finding, I was remembering, you know, Christmas is next month. And last Christmas, when we went to go see Nana, Larue's grandmother up in Lufkin, we were coming back. They were given special toys, and you know, you just rejoice in the Lord, and that generous spirit that's there just abounds. And you know, when you love your children or grandchildren, you think, what would I not do for them? And I'm kind of, you know, I have to restrain from it when I go to the stores. There's special things. You go, oh, my little one would love this. Oh, this would be a great educational toy, honey. You know, this will teach them good things. And, you know, it's just, you just love your children so much. And see, that's how much the Lord loves us. And when I go to pick up Carson at school, that's like one of the highlights to my day. I mean, there's some special times when I just see his face and I'm like, oh, hi, baby. You know, I'm just so happy to see him. And I get to spend that special time with Victoria because she's my, you know, my littlest one, and she's going on 4. But last Christmas, we were coming home from Nana's house, and Carson, he'll just do this out of the blue. He goes, Mama, he said, I hope Carissa Joy has babies and Barbies to play with in heaven. And I said, she does, baby. She does. And I wasn't even thinking about her, you know. I don't know why I wasn't just at the, well, you know, just, it just happens where the little ones, out of their mouth, they perfect praise. They're speaking of the place of heaven that awaits all of us. And so again, joy was imparted to me. He exchanges our weakness for his strength, and our joy is found in him and him alone and through the prayers of the saints. As we pray for one another, you all comforted me so much during that time, and LaRue, in ways that only we know in the realm of the Spirit will know in heaven all things. You know, there's a book out about heaven, Mary Kay Baxter, and it describes heaven. She's taken up into the Spirit, and more people are being translated and seeing these things even before we go there. And what she was describing, I mean, it's like I can see images of heaven too. And there was a book, and I wanted to share this because this brought such comfort to me. And I believe even outside of these four walls, this teaching will go to others that need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But this was given to me, and I just wept and wept and wept over this too. But it's a book by Linda DeMoss, and she had lost her baby. And it says, "Mommy, please don't cry. There are no tears in heaven. There are no tears in heaven." And the book goes on to say how an angel carried the baby to heaven, and how there are parties in heaven, and the river of life, and streets of gold, and the children playing together in heavenly places. And I mean, these pictures are just magnificent. It's like, if you ever know someone who needs to be comforted, this book is a book to give. It is, here's the one with the heaven, with the angel taking the baby to heaven. And you know, the Lord gifts us the special things he knows just what we need. And I'll just let y'all look at some of these pictures and you can pass it around. But, you know, he brings comfort in ways that, you know, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 2:4, where it says the comfort that we receive, we can help others comfort. And even those things, those victories that we have, that we overcome in life, whatever fear or work of the enemy, those things that we overcome, we help others. And that's why we're all fitly joined together and able to encourage and strengthen one another in the realm of the spirit. The Lord was showing me out of the Song of Solomon 2:4, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. For love waved as a protecting and comforting banner over my head when I was near him." When I was near him, and that's the key. When we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And I'm going to open it up to some of those that are worshipers here, because I want to help educate and train and teach all of us one to another. Each of you has special gifts within you, but we're learning really how to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and to be so sensitive in that realm, and to choose with the first opening of our eyes to put our eyes and our mind, our thoughts on him, our body before him, as we posture ourselves before his word, read his word, but getting the word in us so that there's a remembrance of it in times of need. And I just wanted to share a little bit about the times when I have worship the Lord, and I've shared with others how to worship the Lord. And, you know, in the past, ministers would say, "You need to spend time with God. You need to spend time in the Word." And you're like, "Okay, but how? Where do I go? Where do I begin? I mean, the Word is so overwhelming. Where do I?" Okay, everyone go start with John, and then Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know. I mean, there's more revelation that's coming forth. But what I have found that's worked for me, and I'll ask Sharon to come up and share a little bit, and Donna, and if the Lord puts it on your heart, I want us to share with one another what has worked for us in those quiet times. Worship, as we know, is the key. Worship is the key. And Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And what we're finding, even with that 12-page document that our pastor put together recently, by the word, you crucify yourself, you receive communion, you cause yourself to receive of that gift that the Lord gave us on the cross, our self-sufficiency for our dependency on him. There's an exchange taking place at the cross, and it's being made as easy as our simply sitting there and doing it. But one of the things you'll find, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It remains weak and a challenge every day. And the song, there's going to be a song I've asked Chris to play in a little bit, but you know, you could get to that place. And I remember my friends, Heather, used to say, you know, "Press in." I'm like, "What does that mean? You know, press in. Tell me, what does that mean? Press into God, I know, but how?" You know? And it's like, press through. You feel this restraint of the flesh keeping you from entering into that place, and then you get that breakthrough that you need, and then you fall into him, and you just get caught up in him. I know Lila's been so sensitive in the past. She would just fall and just shake and tremble and be so caught up in the spirit, because there is such a dependency on the Lord, and it's found in surrendering that place to the Lord, not living in our flesh and going about passing time. I remember those days, and they're empty. But when you have Christ and him the focus of your thoughts and just the song out of your heart. I was singing to the Lord all the day long. And just songs just come up, and especially those that are, you know, trained worshipers. It's like, you know, it just comes up throughout the day. You just sing songs to Him. But those things work when I'm here and in corporate worship. Oh Lord, there's such streams and rivers of the Lord flowing in this place. I mean, oh, I was noticing with Christine. I go, Christine, look, see how that happens? You will have found that times when I'm either up here, I can even be doing announcements and I'm going, I'm swaying, you know. LaRue sways. You guys watch. You sway because it's like you're in a river up here. You just step up into the anointing. You can't help but getting swept up. And as I had mentioned earlier about Mary Kay Baxter, all of heaven just kind of swoons in this heavenly movement as they're all from the plants and the flowers, the radiance of the rivers with diamonds and stones and jasper and beryl and all these stones and pearls. I mean, everything is worshiping the Lord in that place. And we're pulling down heaven to the earth. So that, you know, you think about some of the songs from the past. You think about some of the music that's come forth. Some of the songs used to be, because that was the revelation that they were walking in that decade or in, you know, just that time or that century even. You know, I can't wait to go to the high by and by, you know. I mean, there'd be songs would sing about, I can't wait to go to heaven, you know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and all those are valid. But there's a new anthem coming into the earth. There's a new sound coming out of heaven, and we're getting swept up in it. Those that have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in these heavenly realms. And you'll find He's going to give you your own songs out of the realm of the Spirit, and especially those that have been called to worship Him. And that's all of us. But there are those that are on the front lines with the battle cry. They're going forth with the banners. They're going forth with the praise and the trumpets and the instruments in this battle cry when we're lifting up the name of Jesus, because we are soldiers of the Lord. And so you find that in those times of worship, what I've done, you know, whether privately or here corporately, you know, many of you are very practiced at this. You practice His presence throughout the day. You practice it. But for those that have struggled, the greatest place to do it is in this corporate anointing where the Spirit of the Lord is swirling around you and your mind is just shut down. Because this is so contrary to the things of God, unless it's renewed with the Word. But when you're in a place of reasoning and figuring things out, well, you know, this could be good. But, you know, on the other hand, it's like, who are you talking to? You're talking to yourself. How much wisdom does self have compared to God? You know, with all wisdom, prudence, knowledge, and understanding. So when you find yourself doing that, stop. Just, whoa. Okay, Lord, I don't know anything. Lord, I need You. Communicate with the Holy Spirit. Express your dependency on Him. Say, Lord, I'm at the end of myself. I don't know which way to turn on this, especially when you're struggling with a decision. And that it's just daily living before the Holy Spirit, communicating with Him. You could be told to do that, but I just want to open it up a little bit and say, just say, how have you done it? You know, I mean, when we're here in this corporate place of worship, you know, we can see as pastors who's entering in and who else is entering in. You know, people are looking around. And there are times that I kind of look around over the sheep. It's like, I want to know if anybody's struggling. I want to just, Father, lift up that person to You. And even, you know, when there's been times of altar calls, everyone's eyes are closed and head bowed. There's that holy moment. And it's, Lord, just woo that person. Give them courage to step forward. Raise their hand. Take that action, that one step towards You like the prodigal son. They run towards You. They know they haven't been living for You. They've been living on their own outside of Your covering, doing their own thing day after day and finding that there's such dissatisfaction here, because the Lord will bring them to that place, even of misery. When people are outside of His covering, doing their own thing, it's all vanity. In the end, it's all vanity. Kind of going through the motions of life, and the devil stealing your time. But when you find again life, you're whispering to Him, you're speaking to Him, and again, especially during those times of worship, you're seated at his throne. Your eyes are closed, your mind isn't wandering, thinking about whatever your thoughts may be. You know, you're sitting there and you're waiting on Him, or you're about to receive an impartation. Bronk explained how when there's a grace line, it's your weakness exchanged for his strength. Your weakness exchanged for his sufficiency. It's like, and those are so personalized. There's like even God customized what we need. It's like, I don't know. But when you're waiting there on him, the Holy Spirit comes in. Sometimes your mind cannot comprehend what the Spirit of the Lord is doing as he's making those adjustments within you or bringing healing to those wounds that have remained in darkness that he's trying to expose. You know, we want to deny sometimes that things happen to us. But when we face those things, we confront those things, we expose them, the enemy has no more hold on them. I know how the enemy, even in my times when I was a little party girl, whether in college or even after college, and even when I knew the Lord, I had times when I failed him. And you know, he wants to try to put that before me again. I go, you know, that's under the blood. I mean, he'll do it at the most inopportune times, the most inappropriate times. You're like, where did that come from? You know, it's like, how dare you? You know, how dare you? Because it's like the enemy can try to come in and be the accuser. Or you can, you just feel how he's trying to come in and bring the past before you. But it's, again, you surrender it. You say, it's all in the blood. I know I made mistakes. And I know that when we've made those kinds of mistakes, when we walked outside of him, we were ashamed of him. And that's how the Holy Spirit is convicting us. But we remove condemnation because there is no condemnation. There's always a conviction because we're sensitive to the things of the Spirit. We remain tender-hearted towards the Spirit and how he wants to bring us into more and more realms of his love. It's like, how can you fall more in love with somebody? But each day you can fall more in love with the Lord. Each day you fall more in love with the way that your husband loves you and how your children love you and how they surprise you and just, you know, express Christ, let alone just their little personalities. You know, they touch us in such special ways. But when we sit at his feet, and when you're, as you're worshiping him, you just whisper to him, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I need you now more than yesterday. I need you now more than ever. You can sit, stand there as there's a prayer line. And you prepare yourself when the minister's down at the other end. You know how our pastor has expressed. There's some that are just whoosh, down and out. You know, the Spirit's already on him. He's already moving in him. There's others that are coming in with the weight of the world and their minds just going 1,000 minutes, you know, 1,000 words a minute, you know, just, you have to say, okay, you have to speak to your mind. Say, I surrender my mind. I sit here before you. I need you, Lord. I offer it myself. I ask that you, by the Holy Spirit, would take me into that holy place. Not because of what I've done, because of who you are. So, when you stand before the Lord, you begin to whisper to him the word of God, confessing the word of God in your quiet time at home. I know that when I picked up that framing your world or just the word of God, healing scriptures, wisdom scriptures, peace scriptures. And amazingly, you know, the wisdom of God, he starts off with crucifixion of self. The framing your world is a powerful tool. It's a powerful tool. I mean, it's a powerful weapon. And so you crucify yourself, the flesh. The flesh is always going to be wanting to do its thing. And the mind screaming, die, die, die. The Lord will have his way today. But as you, it's again, it's just that daily surrendering. I remember Sharon, a few months ago had shared with us how she goes and enters into that holy place. And she even just had this little checklist and, you know, she kind of even just in a sweet way showed us, okay, I've got this, check, covering, check. And this was like, these things that you want to take into that holy place. And it was very elementary, but it was intended to be because we're looking to make it so simple. Our part is just to go and do it. Okay.
I just wanted just to share just a few things because when she was up here talking, I kept hearing Amanda's name, Amanda, Amanda. And when I think of worship, I think of Amanda because she's just surrendered. But what I was hearing too when she was speaking, that worship and intimacy are as one. And the awesome thing is that he who's been forgiven much loves much. So I have been forgiven of so many things. So it's, God has made it easy for me to want to worship. And I would see people back in the days of Living Word, you know, and I came from a Catholic background, and I just see him, Jesus, and just worship. And I would look at them at all because I felt nothing. But what I've learned is just as you develop spiritual muscles, you develop in the spirit. And you see, Anna gave us a demonstration. She's strong. And I have just seen Anna through the years just grow stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. And so I want to encourage you that he wants you, like David in Psalms, just to pour out your heart before him. Worship starts with intimacy. And the other thing is that you don't always maybe walk around feeling intimate. I believe that there's a place that you can get to, which I am now striving to attain. I'm practicing his presence. And so if you'll see me here, you know that I'm practicing his presence. And sometimes his presence will fall so strong, I'm not even aware. You know, I'm like caught up in his glory, and it'll take me a few minutes to come out of that. And so if you want to develop a stronger love walk with the Lord and worship, then I encourage you to start meditating on the Psalms, because the Psalms are real life, and they talk about going through hardships, going through trials. God, where is your presence? And that's real. And then the second is that the first couple praise songs, it really helps in breaking. There's a veil in the flesh that she talked about. And I have purposed in my heart to break that flesh veil every time. And I have purposed in my heart for like Wednesday nights that I'm coming to church. It is an act of my will. And Miss Lily knows it's very, very rare for us to miss church. It's a discipline, but I don't always feel like it. But it's a discipline, and it's an offering. But then once I come, I know because the worship is here. There's an open heaven over this place that I'm going to break through that place with the Lord, and he's going to send forth his refreshing. And I just wanted to leave you with the last thing is that if you could get that little book, have everyone heard of Practicing His Presence by Brother Lawrence? It was back in the 1600s. And what he said that he did was that when he first came to the Lord, he was so filled with guilt. Would he be saved? It took him so long to get past the guilt and the shame. But after a period of time, he started meditating on who he was. And then his thoughts started being filled with God. And then that's where that life comes. So when I'm over here worshiping, and if I'm listening to the songs, I'm thinking the songs that they're singing, I'll try not to have somebody like right here next to me, you know. I'll try to be free just a little bit during the worship. That's why you'll see me come up here, is because I want to totally give myself to him for that short period of time, because the discipline of my thought life is something that I'm still working on. I want to totally out of the, you know, all those hours during the week, Lord, let me take this hour and just surrender it to you. So as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, oh God, thank you that you healed me of lupus. Or thank you, God, for the strength that you gave me today. And I'm just thinking about all those things, you know, in the past. God, thank you for saving my family. I'm just lifting up these offering prayers of thanksgiving. And it helps in here that they dim the lights a little bit. Because do you remember in the Holy of Holies, it was black. They just had, in the Holy of Holies was just a little room, and they had just a candle in there. It was very close and intimate. And that's why they had the prayer shawl that went over them, because it was just a very close and intimate place. And I want to tell you that last night, you know, I worked really late last night to like 9:30, and I was listening to a Morningstar, and I'll finish with this CD, and it was from Braveheart in Scotland. And it's the first time I've had music besides a radio in my car for probably like 5 years, and I'm a worshiper. So the glory filled that car, and I was worshiping the Lord driving down 290. I went and I just got into the, you know, finally pulled in the garage. I still sat in my car after I've been worshiping him for the, you know, driving home, and I continued just to worship the Lord. Because I was just in this small, dark, intimate place. And I thought, if women could know, even if it's busy in the house, go out to your car if you have a stereo in there. If not, maybe bring one with you. And if that's the only place, get there and worship the Lord. And if you have children and you want more time with worship, then find someone that will swap times with you. You know, at least one or two times a week, where in the morning you could have uninterrupted time with him. But it's worth the pressing in. And sometimes it'll take me one or two songs to get into that place. So don't think that it's just you. It's just because we're learning how to walk in his presence. But then it's worth it. It's worth it, his glory. And I have my prayer cloth at home. I use that, like I'll do the shawl here, just to totally take off any distractions. We're so blessed to have the glory cloths, because you could put them on top of your head and you could just totally just go into that secret place with him. And he wants you to know more than anything that he's just wild about you, that he just loves you and he wants to pour out his love and his presence. But we're in such a watering hole here, it's made easy. And I've practiced. It comes with practice. Exactly. And if you're not feeling real spiritual, I want to tell you that just start. Give him the little that you have. And then what Dave Roberson, when he was counseling with even pastors that had gotten away from the Lord, he said, even the worship at the time didn't get it, the praying in tongues, but they started with the Word of God, because his words are spirit and life. And as you start getting your spirit man built up, then you're going to want more and more of him. It's so you want to start exercising. If you haven't exercised that spirit man, start exercising and exercising it every day. And then remember, the time that you worship or your real intimate time with him, it doesn't matter. Even the one of the most spiritual women that I know in this city that's an apostle, her time is at 3 p.m. She's not a morning person. I thought, man, that just totally blows all religion away, you know? Like, you know, and it gives you hope, you know, for people that, you know, or if you work, you know, and you can't get that time in the morning. Make that, you know, for moms, you've got a drive time. Make that drive time your worship time. It doesn't matter that you have to be at this one place. John G. Lake, when he walked, that was his prayer time, because he was so in such demand. But just find some time and just start acknowledging him, being aware of his presence. Yes.
Hallelujah. Such wisdom, such tremendous wisdom. Did that bless you? It blessed me. And there was like three very important keys she shared. And one of them was discipline, sacrifice, and intimacy. And I'm not going to have a show of hands, but I'll raise my own hand. If you've ever experienced a fear of intimacy, you know that what that means is into me see. And so I think about the intimacy that we're to have with the Lord. I mean, what does he not know about you? What does he not know about what you've gone through? When you're transparent, it's like, there's nothing hidden in me. And if something is hidden, we want it to be known, because we want the Lord to to cover that with the blood of Jesus. You know, we can try to ignore that something happened or deny it. Or I think that fear of intimacy came to me because when I was, I think, 12 or 13, you know, I was molested by my stepdad. And so as a result of that, I had a fear of men. But the freedom and intimacy I have with my husband is just amazing. And that's how the Lord designs it. One man, one woman, you know, that we've been created in such a manner to have an intimacy with one another. But in doing so, that fear has been stripped away in going before the Lord. Those fears that I once had, the healing and the forgiveness that I walked through to surrender that person that had hurt me, somebody you love and trust and admire and, you know, needed. And most women have experienced some form of molestation or impropriety or words, you know, that were spoken to demean us or belittle us or degrade us. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes in, He brings you that life and life more abundant and the fruit of the Spirit with that love and joy. And the sacrifice she spoke on, for me, you know, I love coming into church because it's so fresh and I love to see the children of God blessed and spoken over and edified and to see them entering into that place and, you know, those shackles being broken off of them. I mean, I love how the Holy Spirit's going to move because there's no two services ever alike. I mean, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I want liberty in my life and to maintain that liberty. But as she mentioned, sacrifice, sometimes we don't feel like going to church. But it is an open heaven. There is an oasis here. The river is flowing. We just need to get in and drink deeply of those rivers that's so freely been given. And again, that sacrifice, it's like the body doesn't want to do something, but when you do it anyways, you're rewarded openly for it. You're rewarded for it.
Can I say one more thing? I just felt like there's a lot of people going through trials right now, and I've been going through some tremendous battles. So, and I wanted to tell you that it says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kind. Those trials cause you to have to run to Him. So those battles cause you to run to His feet. And sometimes it's just the heart of Hannah. You can't even speak, but you just, you know, sit there and weep in His presence. And that can create intimacy and worship. So I just wanted to encourage you, even with that.